Go to Genesis 3:22. We're going to be talking about the tree of life. He's definitely on the tree of life. You want to know where God is right now? For me, he's in the tree of life. Because that's the part I'm acclimating to. A lot in that tree. You can go to church for 50 years and not know anything about this tree. We don't have to wait till heaven either. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Man had fallen to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from hence he was taken. So it was that point man was cut off from the tree of life. He moved him out and he drove out the man. He placed in the east garden of the Eden the cherubims and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So from that position, man had fallen, and when they had fallen, sin entered into the human race. When sin entered the human race, Adam and Eve had the law of Genesis in their loins, so every being that was procreated from Adam and Eve were naturally born in a state of sin. It was a nature that you could not inherit eternal life with, nor could you eat from the tree of life, because if you eat from the tree of life with that fallen nature, it would have sealed you. So God, he put two cherubs, but he put two cherubs in front of the tree of life so man could not approach the tree of life anymore. And they couldn't for 4,000 years approach the tree of life. Not until Christ showed up could man approach this tree. That's a spiritual tree, but it's real. Like everything in the kingdom is all spiritual, but every part of the kingdom is real. So man couldn't do that. Now I want you to go to John chapter 1. I want to walk through the book of John a little bit. Book of John has several major running themes in it. One of the major running themes is restoration or reconciliation to the Father's love, to oneness with the Father. The second running theme is the restoration of the life. It's throughout almost every single book in John. It's almost in every single chapter, whether it's bread of life, water of life, or tree of life, the Lord is restoring the life, say the life. So we look in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is the Lord. The same was in the beginning with God. The speaking of the Lord, he was the Word. And so verse 4, he said, in him, say in him, was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 9, he says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. So all of a sudden, when the first recognitions John has in this book is, in him was the life. Say the life. It's not in him was the life. It's in him was the, say the life. That was important because this was the first time the Lord was born spiritually alive. Holy Spirit impregnated Mary's womb. So all of a sudden, he could eat again. He restored man's position to eat again from the life. All of a sudden, that life was manifested. We beheld the glory of it. It started immediately manifesting at his commissioning of the Father. It was manifesting to humanity. He says, we beheld the life. They experienced, they encountered, they lived in the glory of that life. I mean, the Lord had it operating a hundredfold in him. I'm talking resurrection, eternal life, physical, tangible glory all around him all the time. Now, because the Lord was born alive, he had the right to eat as a man of the tree of life. Even though he was the Son of God, he had to do everything the way we did it. You have to understand that. He had to do everything. He had to do everything with obedience to the Father. He goes, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. I can only do what I see the Father do. Everything he did with the Father, by the Father, in union with the Father. But he was very skilled in entering into the Father and skilled in abiding with the Father. Amen? So when he would come out, every time you see a revival, if you'll just back up a little bit, you'll most of the time see where he was in the mountain praying. Or if you'll read the different accounts, most every time there was a major outpouring, it was the night before he was in prayer all night before God. And so we look at prayers like, oh my God, I gotta pray. That wasn't like it with him. When he went to prayer, he went, oh, I get to be with the Father, because he would be entering in the realms that we're just now learning how to touch. He would be in the life and the love and the glory of the Father all the night long. And so by the time he come out, he was so full of the life, it would move out in a position of overflow. I mean, I've experienced that several times the last couple of weeks. I've just been in the life, and I'd show up either on a Tuesday or something, and it just start pouring out. It's very tangible, and it's very deep, and it's very wide. It's glorious because it has so much in it. The Bible says it has 12 manners of fruit, and it says the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. Though it be spiritual, you have the right to eat of it now. And though it's spiritual, you have to learn to eat of it because you're a natural being. But now that you're born again, you're a spiritual being. So now we learn to eat from it. But you don't have to learn on your own. The Holy Spirit will teach you these things. Amen. So in him was alive. All of a sudden, we see this life manifest. In chapter 2, it says, fill the water pots with water. That was foreshadowing the water that would pour out of us. And now pour out the water. Amen. Chapter 4, fountain of life. He goes, woman, if you knew who's talking to you, you'd be asking me of living water. She'll give me this living water. He goes, it's going to be in you, a well of life flowing out with eternal life. So you see it flowing all the way through. But I want to get to a particular chapter today. Go to chapter 5, verse 26. It says, for as the Father says, the Father hath life in himself. That's eternal life. That's our inheritance. A wellspring of eternal life flows out of him all the time, never stops flowing out of him. Could you imagine? In an eternal, internal wellspring, river flowing all the time. Now, actually, I need you to just go over to chapter 4, because all these feed into each other. John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, this is the woman of Samaria, they're at a well, and you know the story. He says, you're going to thirst again. Now notice his intention for this water, his vision for the water. He said, whosoever drink of the water I'm going to give him shall never thirst. How many of you are thirsty for God? Just raise your hand. So obviously we have something to learn about this water, because we're all thirsty. Amen. But the water that I'll give him shall be in him, say in him, a well of water springing up, bubbling up with everlasting life. So he's put this in us, whether we're encountering or experiencing it or not, it's there. He said this water is going to be a well in us. Amen. His vision, when it flows so much, it would quench continuously our thirst for God. That we can access this to a level, and I believe in these last days we're going to access this to a level as we learn to drink, learn to eat. It's not a natural thing. You're not just going to wake up and drink and eat. You have to get connected to that realm. You connect by faith. We teach how to do that today. I'm not going to teach you how to connect. I'm just showing you the place. But as we drink, when he would say this thing, he says, drink of the water. This is spiritual water. He absolutely intended it for us to drink, and he also knew he was going to teach us how to do this. He wasn't going to leave us alone to learn how to do this on our own. He was going to teach us. He's going to send his Holy Spirit to teach us how to drink of the inheritance he's given us. Amen? Make partakers of the divine nature. He's going to teach us how to get this well flowing. Every once in a while it'll spring up. I'm like, whoa, pretty full. It's like the love of the Father. It's like the rest. It's all good. So let's look at the problem. Go to chapter 5. So he was giving you the vision. Chapter 5, he's going to deal with the issue that's causing the problems. Verse 26 again. So as the Father had life, say, has this life, eternal, unending, wellspring, continuous life flowing out of him. As the Father had life in himself, he's given to the Son to have the life. See, they were encountering it because they had the luxury of walking around with someone that was in touch with heaven. It was manifesting heaven all the time. So they were living under that anointing and that glory all the time. I'm like, God, that's not fair. They got to live under that. He goes, you can live under it too. I'll teach you how to do it. Amen. He says, the Father has this eternal life in himself. He's given the Son to have this life. He goes, I got this. He's given the Son to have the life. He goes, I have the same life as the Father has in heaven. I have it here with me. This is the question of Ephraim Samaria. He goes, and he's given the Son to execute judgment also. For he's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. What does that mean? What does it mean? He's going back to the creation of man at man's fall. When man fell, he could not eat from the tree of life. He was cut off. The fallen nature had cut him off. He goes, but now I am the first man born spiritually alive. The life's been restored. As the Father has life in himself, he's given me the life. The life has been restored, and I have power to execute judgment now. And now when we think judgment, we think, oh my God, God's going to judge me. No, he's not talking about that kind of judgment. He's going to execute judgment against your fallen nature. You were born with him. When he executes the judgment, what he does is he takes that fallen nature out from under judgment. He recreates you in the life of God. It's called being what? And guess where he shared that? He paints the whole picture in John. John's such a phenomenal book. When he was dealing with Nicodemus, he goes, listen, Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. You're not going to see the kingdom, touch the kingdom, feel the kingdom. You're not going to operate in the kingdom because it's a spiritual kingdom. And Nicodemus, he's probably looking at himself in heaven and go, did I really ask him that question? You got to be born again. Why? Because you can't eat from the kingdom of God and drink, experience, encounter, see, understand. No, you can't know any of these things until you're born again. Why? Till the Son of Man can execute judgment on the fallen spiritual nature you're born with, bring it out of death into life. Once you're out of death into life, you have and are entitled to eat again. Amen. Say, I am worthy, entitled to eat again. I've been given access to the tree of life, which is a major fundamental part of man's clothing in the beginning. Man was unclothed. They just didn't know they were naked because they were clothed in the glory in the beginning. Adam and Eve's clothing came out of the life, came out of the glory. They were clothed in so much light, so much life, so much glory, so much fullness. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't wear anything but the glory. And the tree of life was a fundamental part of what they would eat in the beginning. They would eat the fruits of that tree and it would clothe them. And when they fell, what's the first thing? They had the knowledge we're naked. God said, who told you you were naked? All of a sudden, the glory lifted off of them. The light lifted off of them. The life lifted off of them. It was horrible. And what'd they do? They went and hid. Listen, whenever you're in sin, you'll go hide. Sin always hides. You see someone hiding, they've got something going on. That clothing, that glory was taken off of them, and they went and hid. And God said, you ate from the tree, didn't you? That wasn't the tree of life. God gave them full access to it in the beginning. You ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple. It's just that's the way they portray it. You ate from that tree, didn't you? And the sin entered in. God went and slayed an animal. He took the skins of that animal and he clothed them because the innocent blood of that animal had to atone for their sin. But he covered them because they were naked. Before they were naked, but they were clothed in the glory. See? But now they're walking around in sin. He goes, you can't walk around like that. So when we restore the life, he gives us access to come and be clothed again. To eat again, to partake of the divine nature, the Bible says. To be clothed in the original clothing. I believe God wants it to grow to such a degree that the visible glory and the visible life will be upon us. Amen? That we'll be so clothed again, because the full rest, that's the way the Lord was. And when it's on you, things happen. They happen. So the Father life, He executes judgment against the spiritual death. He restores our right now to eat. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Restoring our right to eat. Now, watch this. He's going to start taking us down to the pathway. Now go to chapter 10. Hallelujah. See, you have to see the whole theme of the book's running. See, the theme's running. John chapter 6, bread of life. John 4, fountain. John 7, waters of life flowing out of you. John 5 was the life in the Father. See, it's all about the restoration to our original mandate. And this book covers so much of that restoration because it restores us to the position of the Father's love, reconciliation, John 14, 15, 16, 17, and it restores us to the life. These are two major fundamental components of what man originally had. And if man can restore into these in fullness while they're here, you're going to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Amen. But to do that, we have to not only understand it's our inheritance, understand that I'm born again. He's executed judgment. Now I have a right. I have the right to read it like this. Is the Father have life in himself? He's given the Son to have life in himself and has given me to have life in myself. Because positionally, He's put the fountain in me, but I've got to get connected with it now. Even though it's there, it's like being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to get connected to it. Amen. This is what Christianity is supposed to be about. Christianity is not supposed to be about go back and forth to church. We're supposed to be encountering God. We're supposed to be encountering the original mandate. The image for which we were born was to bear the image of love and bear the image of life. Amen. We were supposed to partake of it constantly, consistently, all the time, and receive the image of it, because the more we partake, that image will manifest in our life. It'll manifest in our soul. I mean, just one encounter, God already started dealing with one of her life's issues. The enemy had sinned against her, but one encounter, God had planted a new tree. Because that marble was the tree. He put that in there. He planted a new planting. It was like a seed. See, He plants new things in us. The enemy's planted a lot of things in us as we've grown. But God wants to replant. So what we have to find out is what He's done. And then we want to get access to it, because a tree can't grow if you're not feeding it and watering it. Amen? In the kingdom, you have to give attention to it. Nothing, write this down or put it in your brain, nothing will grow in the kingdom if you do not give attention to it. Attentiveness of faith is what causes these things to grow. Amen? All right, so John 10, so now we know what He's done. Look at what God's saying. Now He's going to restore our access point. Verse 9, I am the door. If by me be me any man enter, then he will say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. See, okay, now He's culminating everything He has said hitherto. Okay, you're saved. You're born again. Access is restored. Now He has to go in and out, and now He'll find the pasture. What is the pasture? He's talking to sheep here in this particular chapter. He likens the sheep. What is the pasture? It is your substance and sustenance of life. Pasture is everything to a sheep. Amen? Without pasture, you cannot live or survive. I'm going to give you what you have always craved. I'm going to give you the access position, the pasture. If you're a king, it's the king's table. It's what's behind the door. Listen, if all we do is live in this jurisdiction, we're going to be of all men most miserable. We got to get beyond the door. He shall go in and out. Most of you should be proficient now that come to this church are going in and out. The thief. You have thieves. I'm telling you, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. They want to kill, steal, and destroy your access point. Why does the enemy camp at that door? Why? Because he doesn't want anybody coming back to their fullness. He enjoys the fact that he cut man off from the beginning. He certainly doesn't want you going back to your original mandate. Because he has no power over you. So he camps at the door. You think it's just natural stuff happening when you're trying to go pray and all kinds of things blow up. That's meant to steal, kill, and destroy your access point to keep you here. Amen. He goes, but I've come, say I've come, that you might have what? The life. Right here, he goes, this is why I've come, to restore you to the full love and to restore you to the life. The tree of life is behind the door. What's behind the door? The tree of life. And that you might have it now more abundantly. It is no longer cut off. It is yours to eat from. It's yours to eat from now. It's yours now. Say, it's mine now. I've come to give you access to this tree. See that? We're born again. He deals with the fallen nature, repositions us, gives us access, but he's still going. Go to John 15. John 15 now. I want you to read this in the light of what he's saying in John. Okay? Look at verse 4. It says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Look at verse 7. If, there are ifs in the Bible. Say there are ifs. This is a big, big if. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and be done in you. Now, let's read this in the light of what he's saying. Abide in me. Okay, I've dealt with the fact. I manifested the life. A man can be born again in chapter 3. Been given access. Chapter 4, I'll put a fountain in you. Chapter 10, I'm going to give you access. Now, if you come through the access door, and if you abide in me as the tree of life, say the tree of life, then you'll become a branch of this tree. Do you see that? I am the vine, you are the branch. If you abide in me, I'll make you a branch of this tree. And the fruits are on this tree will not only grow up in you, they'll grow out through you. And I will cause the fruits of this tree to flow. This is true ministry in its greatest form. Beyond the gift realm, this is the abiding realm. Will you abide in me till you're so full of the life, so full of the glory, so full of the grace, so full of the 12 fruits, which I got into a little bit, but I'll get into more as we go, that you become my branch to where people can come and eat from your tree because you become an extension of the tree of life. Amen. If you're going to be an orphan extension of orphanism, you're going to produce orphans. Church has got orphanism spirit on them. But if you're an extension of this life, and if you'll come through the door, the access, and abide in me, not only will these fruits manifest in you, they'll start manifesting through you freely through an overflow. Say an overflow. Said virtue. He was walking. Remember when he was walking down the road and the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years just touched the hem of his garment. Virtue flowed out of him. Immediately healed. That was the life. That was the healing properties in the life. He was carrying the dunamis. He was carrying the life. It was on him because he was clothed in it. Look at your neighbor and say, you get clothed. You got to be spiritual about it. Be clothed. You see the if? I can become a branch. I want you to take a picture of what your branch looks like on the inside right now. Close your eyes and say, what kind of branch am I? Because he goes, apart from me, you can do nothing. Break off a branch in your yard and see, watch the leaves, what happens to them. They will wither. prune a branch and watch the leaves flow. See, we always have to be pruned. Part of the pruning is not always God's working on me. Sometimes the pruning is just getting things out of the way to get you reconnected with Him. Listen, part of the pruning of God is we get so distracted and so into the things we're doing and so that all of a sudden we're so apart from Him because we're running down a trail that's not even of Him, and we're disconnected and we're discombobulated, and God comes in with a pruning mechanism. Why? He prunes the distraction factor. He prunes out what's keeping you from abiding, and He resets you, realigns you, realigns your frequency to Him. How many of you have ever had that happen? All the time. But you get mature, what happens is you learn to stay more with Him, so you're not pruned as much that way because you're not outside of Him. But a lot of the prunings of God, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to prune you. And they look at it from a religious, judgmental sense. God's going to prune that sin in you. A lot of the pruning, God is so full of mercy and so full of love. Most of His pruning is to get you reset back into Him. Because listen to me, a lot of sin issues is because we're disconnected from the life. Man is meant to eat. You have an internal appetite given to you from God. Nobody is going to escape that appetite. You look at some of the stars that they get everything they want and they're miserable. Why? Because they have an appetite the world can't fill. Promises you can fill it, but it can't. Amen? You have the appetite factor. That's one of the great gifts God's put in is the appetite factor. It's an emptiness until it gets filled. And if you don't get it filled, you're going to be miserable. I know. I have a huge appetite. The more you get into God, the greater your appetite grows. You expand your appetite. So you can't afford to get disconnected. Because if you get disconnected, you want to serve that appetite. And the enemy will come and just shove things to you. And they can be destructive. So you have to keep your appetite factor in God. Amen. And then you become a branch of His planting and the glory of God manifest through your branches. It's pretty simple, really. It's just whether we do it or not. You do have to count the fact there is an enemy that understands your redemption. He knows what's happened. He knows you've been restored to the original mandate of man. And he understands that if you hang out very long, that you're going to have authority over Him. So He wants to keep you from that place. And He's very skilled at it. Even when you get preached to about this almost a weekly basis, He's still skilled to it. Imagine a church that never preaches this stuff. Nobody ever goes there. Isn't it amazing that God's restored so much and we eat so little? Isn't it amazing of how much He's done for us and we partake so little? But God's going to hone a body in this last hour. He's going to hone us in to eat in fullness till we start manifesting the glory of God in the earth. And when the manifested glory starts showing up on the sons of this house and the manifested glory starts showing up in this house, the nations will come and eat. You don't have to go. It's like a good restaurant. You don't have to advertise. You ever find a hole-in-the-wall restaurant that's packed out and it never advertised? They don't have to. Because when someone finds something good to eat, they're going to go be telling somebody. And they're going to tell somebody and all of a sudden they're packing the door. When the nations can come and eat more than just what's upon a man. Because if all they're doing is eating from a gift realm or what's on a man, listen, the body of Christ is getting tired of that. It doesn't satisfy anymore. But if the real glory out of heaven shows up, how do you get heaven into the earth? You go there and partake until you become a branch. Because it fills you so much, you become the branch. And you come down and you're an expression of the tree of life. It's not you, it's the life flowing through you. That's how it works. And all of a sudden, when someone starts tasting of that realm, it starts producing instantaneous encounters with people. When they start tasting, they go, oh, what is this? Because it's different. It's got a different flavor to it. It's deeper, wider, greater. Why? Because it's coming out of heaven. It's coming out of heaven. We're a branch. And this is what God's going to do is make us a branch. We're an extension of His love, His rest, and His life. This is one of the final, that's what He spoke to me in the chair there. He goes, the final restoration is the life. I'm going to add it to the other measures, and there's going to be a leavening effect, unlike anything you've ever seen. I'm going to talk about that Wednesday night, the leavening effect with the three measures. He goes, when you have this operating with the other, it will leaven. Anybody ever bakers in here? Ever seen bread leaven? You add certain things to it, and pew. That's what we want. We want that leavening factor. That's the divine factor, the leavening factor that you can't do. Amen? When that starts happening, nations will come to the doorway. Multiplication will come to the door. The nations will come to the door. But here's the key. We don't have to do this in our own strength. All we have to do is be with Him and come out and let Him pour out of the tree to the nations. I didn't know what all was going on with her. God was pulling that out of a tree, out of an encounter I had, and extending it to her. And so as we encounter, but as we learn to eat, we're going to get efficient. We're going to get really good at it. Amen? And when we get, we're going to be so full of it, it's naturally, when you're full of something, it'll come out of you. Amen? When you're full and excited about something, it will come out of you. It just will. If you're full of the life, it's going to come out. This is the way we're made. If you're full of the love, it's going to flow out. Notice what he did in the book. So he showed the life. He says, okay, a man's got to be born again. Talked about it all through there. And then John 10, he gave us access. And then right here, we saw that as he's given us the access, because the Father had life in himself, I'm going to execute judgment on the spiritual death. I'm going to restore life in you. I'm going to give access to you. And now if you abide, this is the vision. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear the fruit. You'll bear the fruit I'm looking for. It's not going to be mixed with too much of humanity and the fallen things. It's going to be full of the heavenly. It's the highest realm in God. You'll bear the life. Okay, so he's given you the vision for it. That's what he's doing in John 15. This is the vision of what I want to do in the restoration of this life. And now John 16, and we'll close with this, which is really good, I might add. Now he goes, okay, now that I've told you all this, you're going to need some help. You're not going to be able to do all this on your own. Why? Predominantly because you're born, you're a natural being, you're not naturally going to learn how to eat from the spiritual realm on your own. I'm going to give you some help. Say help. See how he builds the whole thing through? And he crowns it with the love of the Father. But watch this. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is going to give you the Holy Spirit. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is your helper. He is your advocate, assistant, helper. He has sent to teach you about this glorious kingdom and the inheritance in it. Amen? He will guide you, say guide you, into all the truth of what I'm saying. He's going to guide you into what? He's going to guide you into the tree of life. He's going to guide you in. He's going to show you the door. He's going to guide you in. Amen? Guide you into the Father. Guide you into the tree of life. See, a guide. What's a guide? Why? You have to have a guide because you're moving in a spiritual dimension. He said, so he'll guide you to all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you to come. The word things is not there. He's going to show you erkamei. What's erkamei? He's going to show you how to come to me. He's going to show you how to get through the door. He's going to show you how to eat from this tree. He's going to show you how to get in the presence of the Father. He's going to help you. Amen? Get to know the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit's going to help you get this whole kingdom thing down. See how the book of John is so amazing? It summarizes so many things. He said, what? Verse 14. He what? Shall glorify me. He's going to glorify, and he's going to receive of mine and show it to you. He will glorify all that I've done. So let's just look at it in the tree of life. He's going to, like, abide in me as the tree. He's going to glorify me as the tree of life. He's going to show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to glorify me as a restored tree of life. He's going to show you. He's going to show you how to come and eat from it. He's going to teach you how to do this. I can attest he's teaching us how to do this. Amen. This is what we're about. It's not all about just going in. There is a going out factor that's coming. It's going to land faster than any of us know. And when that stuff starts extending out, this place is going to blow up in a good way. Amen. He'll receive mine, show it unto you. All things the Father has mine. What does the Father have? As the Father have what? Life in himself. He's given the Son to have the life. All things the Father is mine. Therefore, I said he's going to take of mine the life. He's going to show you how to come to where it is. He's going to show you to eat from it. He's going to show you how it flows. And then he's also going to stand on the other side and draw that life out of you to the world. He is the administrator of the life. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.